views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 9. And wait, FEMA region number 6. I'm not in number 9. California's number 9. FEMA region number 6. Coming to you live today. Today is November. Wow, November the 1st, 2018. We have with us today is our co-host, Pastor Keith, is in the building. Greatly appreciate you all. And we'd like to thank you for listening to Tando Radio Show. And at any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we will see you in queue and definitely will bring you up, okay? So, hey, before we get going in today's live show for November the 1st, 2018, and today's show is When in a Hurry, We'll Be Stepping Over Cash. When in a Hurry, We'll Be Stepping Over Cash. Keith looked at me like, what you talking about, Dave? So, my man, so greatly appreciate you. Good to have you back in studio, Keith. And so we're looking forward to your insight. And I just want to say, there was a couple, before we get started, I got an email. Well, let me wait until Brother Davis is there. Let me see if Brother Davis is in queue. No, he isn't. So later on, I'll got an email from a listener. Want to appreciate just the show. Appreciated you, Pastor Keith, and everyone with their input, and the sister appreciated Brother and Sister Davis and Mr. Wise Wednesday show with wanted Brother and Sister Davis when they were going to be coming back on to do Wise Wednesday with more health, you know, part of that portion of the show. Yeah, Brother and Sister Davis definitely take care of that part of Tando Radio Show, and they are currently still dealing with just some of the adverse effects of the recent hurricanes. So as soon as they're able, they will be back on air and bringing information to you all. So we'll let Brother Davis know that once he chimes in, once I hear from him again. So greatly appreciate you all. Okay, now let me go to, what are we going to? Oh, before we get started, everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network. Give a financial donation, please. That's so necessary. I need to do my monthly one, and I will be doing that coming up here soon. But please, give a financial donation to the network so it can stay afloat. Without your overall donations, it can't stay viable. Won't be able to provide you what you have deemed as being necessary and important. So please do that. You can do that at its homepage for this network, and that would be www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com. And once you're there, go to and find the donation prompt, hit it, give a financial donation to show your appreciation so that this network can stay on air. Also, If you would like to, you could also support the network by being a part of this social media platform known as BTR Community. You can find that at www.btrcommunity. And for a membership of only $24 a year, one time annually membership dues of $24, and then you can post things about yourself, your business, and engage in your social media activities that you would otherwise be at being more adversely affected by them through the mainstream media such as FedBook, Tweet and Telling, and all the other ones. They are actually using you for their overall monetary gain, and they're not sharing anything other than a platform for you to gossip and to tell things that are very, you know, in so many different ways, very dangerous and hazardous to your overall, you know, movement forward. And it really, really is. So come on over to BTR Community as a membership. You don't have to worry about that. And your identity will never be sold to any bidder. That's what happens. That's how the compromise of all of Fed books and everyone's account is there, because they sell it. So you're compromised there. So come on over to BTR Community. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, go to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can exchange your currency for real money. And the reason why that's being done now, because as long as the ability is to exchange currency for money, once that ends, then Prosperity Mint won't be able to take your, won't be accepting your cash for its money. It will only require that you give another form of acceptable for that. So while that overall, because what happens is then Prosperity Mint can go and acquire from the mines the actual metals as well. So the, how it works is that once the mines become nationalized or they stop selling their or exchanging their money for cash, then what happens once they stop doing that, then all of the dealerships will stop having inventory to sell, and the inventory that they have, they will not be selling for any cash price. So right now you can do that exchange, and that's why it works. So until that ends, and it is going to end, and when it ends, they will only accept a form of money for another exchange form of money. And so definitely come into that. So while you can still do it, do it, okay? And when you go to Prosperity Mint, email them first, and it's info@prosperitymint.com, and say you're a Tando Radio Show listener, and someone will contact you just to explain the overall buying process, okay? Very, very, very important. All right, so let's get into today's show. And let me just pull up on the inside of Tando Radio Shows and BTR Community, the only place that I post. Okay, today's show, as I said, is for November the 1st, 2018, when in a hurry we'll be stepping over cash. And I'm saying that for this reason. Okay, so Keith, you remember there's been times that you have been in a hurry and you've seen like a penny on the ground, you stepped over it, a dime, a nickel, possibly even a quarter, but most people won't step over a quarter. Most people won't step over a dime. Or even a nickel, sometimes depending on what it is. But if it's a penny on the ground, they'll step over and keep going. They'll see it, notice it, and say, I'm not going to pick it up. Well, the way things are shaping out in the future, there will be cash, dollar bills littered all over the ground. Just as you see pennies on the ground now, you'll see dollar bills floating on the ground. And you know what people will say? I'm not going to pick that up. Why am I not going to pick that up? Because that's not going to do anything for me. I'm not going to be able to get anything with that. I need a whole stack of those to get something. I'm not going to find that. But that's how it's going to be here. You'll see actual dollars are going to be on the ground just as pennies are, and people will pass them over. And then, you know, sometimes a child will say, ooh, a penny, and the parent will say, leave that down on the ground. That's what everything is coming to. And I want to show you why that is in today's show. Something very, very, give my opinion as to why that is. No, I'm going to show you why that is. I don't have to stand by my opinion anymore. I'm just going to just say, hey, this is what I see, take it, you know, you could take it or leave it. It will speak for itself. And so we're going to definitely take a look at that. So first article I got from, this was from glowemthoughts.com, and this was debt is back, but this time is corporate. Very, very important. Debt is back, but this time is corporate. We'll definitely take a look at that at some point in some time. Then we're going to take a – I'm going to – there's two things we're going to listen to today. Very, very important. This one is from celebrity figurehead of YouTube, from celebrity figurehead Trump yesterday talking about – 1 second. So, sorry about that. This is a YouTube video from celebrity figurehead Trump. We're gonna play this, a part of this. I want you to hear something. He's talking about sending 15,000 troops to the borders, but it's something much more important that's said there. And we'll get to that. Next article I got from RT International. Dollars declined. Dollar declined. Dollar decline. That's how we're going to get to where you step over cash, dollar bills that'll be floating around. Dollars declined. India to pay for Russian air defense systems in rubles. That's going to be the prevailing trend that's going forward. Next article from Wall Street Journal, and this is the opinion. Most United States college students afraid to disagree with professors. Very dangerous when people are coerced to agree in any form, in any platform. Your opinion is so, so important. When people are afraid to express their opinion, it's because, remember what we were talking, when I played the YouTube video with the ex-KGB agent. We're going to play that late, not today, but another time, to hear what the overall, what the type. They've got the U.S. citizenry right where they want them. Quiet.
And you know, Dave,
docile.
That has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And where I saw that so much was in theology. You know, because if you look at most of these colleges, they're atheists. And They would intimidate, challenge, embarrass, and everything else these students if they were believers.
Yeah.
All the way to the degree now that if you look at a lot of the seminaries, a lot of the seminaries are taught by theologians that have their PhD in theology and et cetera, that are not believers.
Yeah.
So that's where I saw this, and this has been going on for quite some time.
Yeah.
Well, it's how you subjugate someone, and it's how you get them to surrender their will. The military does it all the time.
Absolutely.
The corporations do it all the time.
Absolutely.
Schools do it all the time. You know, from the law enforcement standpoint, they do that all the time. And no, you're not to give your opinion about anything, you know. And this, see, when you... What happens is that's a subtle way for you to compromise your morality for someone else's agenda, which means you're selling out.
Sure is.
You're selling out your moral absolutes for someone else's agenda. And that's what this system needs to thrive. And they do it in the subtlest ways, because subtleties become momentum, establishes momentum. Very, very important. So check out that article. Next article, this is from Middle East Eye. Knew this was coming. Exclusive. Senior Saudi prince flies home to tackle MBS. Basically, the youngest brother of the current king, who was going to be part of the crown prince lineage, is coming back to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to get the crown prince removed. And there's other members in the House of Assad that are backing him. Now he's coming back out of his self-exile. And this is basically a coup. The coup continues in Saudi Arabia. Very, very important. Next article from Middle East Eye as well. Khashoggi's murder tape will never be made public, Turkish source. And that's really smart. Why would they? They're using it as a trump card. They're going to use it as a card. It probably will later on but it's going to be used. It's going to be used as a tool. So check out that article. Next article. Got this from American Think, AmericasThinkers.com. Now, I'm glad they put AmericanThinkers.com instead of, because that may be true. There may be some American thinkers. But there's very few United States thinkers. The Americas, yes. Because, you know, I love how the U.S. tries to monopolize America.
Sure.
You know, America, it ain't the United States.
But in their eyes, they're the only ones that matter.
Yeah, exactly. So the U.S. is, the subliminal message there is that the United States is a continent that conquers other continents. That's really the subliminal message. When they always talk about America, 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 when they're really insinuating the United States, that was purposely put into the lexicon because what we speak is so important to our subconscious mind as to how we respond to things. What's really happening there is the United States is representing itself as a continent and as a conquering continent. So,
Dave, you know, to stress that point a little bit, I don't know if people are aware of it, but, you know, I was looking at a thing which was very interesting. And what they were talking about was they were talking about the global map. Now, when you look at the map, everybody knows what that looks like with the United States and the Africa and the China and all of that. Well, what they came out with was that map is not nearly as representative as it's supposed to be. And what they were talking about was you see these continents. Like if you look at the continent of Africa, it's four times larger than what it shows on that map.
Right.
And then if you look at the Americas, it's half the size that it's showing. And what they were telling about was the way that they blew up these continents like the United States and greatly decrease the size of Africa and stuff has a strong psychological effect.
Yes, it does.
And they were showing how just on the global map, how they're changing the mindset of people, like you said, subliminally, with them not even knowing it. And it goes all the way around. I don't know if you're familiar with this show, What Would You Do? And what that is they take all these different scenarios. And they put these people on the scenarios to see how they react.
Right.
Well, one of the things that they determined was one of the things that they said is that in this country, even that people that don't think that they're prejudiced by any stretch of the imagination, they have a subconscious prejudice towards black people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how those things came about.
Sure.
And don't think that
reinforced.
Exactly. And don't think that that only affects them. That affects us as well.
Sure it does.
You know, we're the only people that talk about, you know, the black women talk about, you know, I ain't dealing with no more N-words. You know, they ain't no good, blase, blase. Yeah. And the brothers are talking about, I ain't dealing with no more B's. Boom, 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 boom. And that's a prejudice that was instilled in us if we don't know it. And they do it in so many ways. And that's what brings back, it's done in the colleges, like you said. It's done even on the maps. Who would ever have thought that?
Sure.
You know, it's so pervasive in our society that we have to learn about these things because otherwise, how do you fix what you don't even know is broken?
Yeah. And you know, Keith, to that point is, and to the point that you're making, I'm glad you're making it,
how I look at it is that when we look at and we become self-derogatory in our self-derogatoryism, it's a temptation that's given to many people in all forms and fashion, but you have to accept it. It's a temptation because there is still the responsibility of you still execute. We accept that self to self
degradation.
Degradation, yes. And that overall that disassemble. We accept our own disenfranchisement, and we perpetuate it by choice. And Keith looked at me like, I don't know about choice day. He had to get, and I'm going to say, this is why Keith was like, no, I don't think, this is why I think it's by choice, Keith.
Okay.
Yes, it is presented to us as a temptation. And what happens is that temptation wears on our will, wears on our emotion. But it's never, ever fulfilled until the person accepts it. It's kind of just as Christ coming out of the wilderness and being tempted. You have to say no to it. And those that don't say no to it are executing their will. Because our will is just that strong. The see, one of the things I like to always put it as is the key to magic is not to make you believe, not to trick you, but to make you believe. And then once you believe that that is true, that gives, because only you can believe it. The common denominator is your acceptance of it. Is it trickery and everything else? Is it created? Is it reinforced? Yes, it all of those come into play. But when we accept that and we choose to do it, which we do, because even in the person that says those things, there's a part of them that says, you know, we shouldn't be saying that, and we know we shouldn't be thinking that way. But we still say it, and we still think that way, and we still act upon it. So that's what I mean by will. Will was one of the greatest gifts that the great creator gave us, because not even God could go against our will. That's powerful.
Well, he won't go against
you. Won't go against your will. That's powerful. That's extremely powerful.
Okay, I have a caveat to that. I think that, and as we all know, you can't take any statement and blanket it all the way across
sure,
the board.
Right, you can't.
So I agree with that in ways.
Yep.
There's a lot of that.
Yep.
But I think one of the true tests of what you're saying, you know, because I deal with this in theology again, you know, I really deal with it in the Republican, you know, how are these people voting for Trump? And I essentially put them in categories. I put them in willfully ignorant, evil, and what was my other category? Willfully ignorant and ignorant are two different categories.
They're two different categories.
And that's kind of how I see your statement. And
right.
One of the ways that I see that is like, if you present something to somebody,
mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it goes back to the old statement, well, you know better, you do better.
Right, right. If you're naive to something, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. But when you present something to somebody and they reject that,
right?
Now you know the knowledge. You just reject that.
You just rejected it.
That's willful.
That's willful.
You don't have no excuse.
Right, right. That's a choice.
That's absolutely a choice.
Being deceived and tricked is not a play on your will.
Right.
Being deceived and tricked is not a play on your will. So, in that standpoint, yes, I would. But being neglectful and willful, that's intent.
Yes.
That's intent.
Yes.
That's definitely intent. So we agree there, my man. Okay. All right. So now American thinkers, is the U.S. failing at cyber warfare? Very, very important. We need to do one show just on this, because that's what's going to really be critical going forward. And what we're going to have to face in a very, very monstrous way.
And we brought that up one other time, too. I've been gone for 2 days, so you got to forgive me. It looks like I'm out the box now just talking. But you remember we covered that on that 60 Minutes story. When
yes.
They were interviewing that dude, and they said we are being attacked. And he mm-hmm. said the only thing we can do in retaliation,
mm-hmm.
he said it would be like going against nuclear weapons
right.
with bow and arrows.
With bow and arrows. Using bow and arrows against nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in reference to are we...
It was a part about the election.
Yeah.
Yep. So true. So, but we need to cover that, because that is how the real warfare, that is going to be the real meaningful warfare that is going to affect us all individually, collectively, and as a species. Next article from Project, Big Food Poison Propaganda. Big Foods Poison Poisonous Propaganda. Big Foods Poisonous Propaganda. Check out that with the overall food being compromised. And this one is going to talk about the addiction that we have to sugar, without a doubt. You know, sugar was used as a drug, you know, while back in a long, long time ago. Was used as a drug. Guess what? It still does. The system has everyone addicted to something. And sugar is the one that most everyone is addicted to.
Absolutely.
Especially Pastor Keith. So check out that. Next article from AP News. Militants offer help to stop caravan rides. To stop cancer concerns at the border. So there's a militant groups and far right activists that are raising money and announcing their plans to head to the Mexican border to help stop the caravan of Central Americans, echoing celebrity figurehead Donald Trump's attack on the migrants making their way towards the U.S. Who didn't think that this was going to happen? Who didn't?
You know, Dave, in light of that, too, I watched a movie last night, and it kind of struck home with me again. I had seen it before. I don't know if everybody else has seen it. But it was called The Free State of Jones. Do you remember that movie?
No, I'm not a big movie buff.
Okay. So in The Free State of Jones, what it's talking about what happened right prior to slavery, mm-hmm. and during slavery and then after in the emancipation and stuff. And it had a white guy that was kind of ostracized from society, but he ends up having to run into the swamps, and he's helped by the slaves that ran into the swamps that they want to go after them. He ends up building up a whole team of people that ended up fighting against the army and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when you go into that, this is why I bring that up. When it goes into that, it talks about right after the blacks got emancipation, mm-hmm. and had the right to vote, but of course they weren't allowing them to vote, and they were still lynching. Mm-hmm. It talks about that after this stuff was rescinded, because then the federal pulled the truth out of the South, mm-hmm. and they lost their protection, and the white people, they came back in there, mm-hmm. they're able to reclaim their mm-hmm. Farmland, and they put in all these things that essentially put the black people back under slavery,
mm-hmm.
and how the courts back them up in this is exactly how I see what's going to happen. And this convoy that you're showing is showing the seeds of that exactly.
Yeah, the caravan.
The caravan is showing that exactly. You're going to have the people that don't look like us claiming power. And if the stuff hits a fan and the governments collapse, you're going to see a rollback right back to 1862.
Vigilantism is going to be
on an organized scale.
Yeah, on a massive scale.
You're going to see a rise of organizations like the Klan, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. terroristic groups, large groups that's going to be backed by the courts, not backed by the courts, but ignored by the courts, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
And this is again why we have to be so diligent and prepared for what's about to happen.
Yeah, I couldn't agree even more.
Hey, I have a question.
We'll do a show on that as well. Scotty wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Scotty.
I mean, hold up. I'm trying to turn this off. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, you go, Scotty.
Conservatively, there are probably about 20 million black people in this country. That's not to mention, I'll just leave it at that. There's 20 million black people that I say are capable of fighting. Okay, do you really think, are y'all telling me that y'all really believe that black people just going to be passive and allow themselves to be rounded up? Or do you think it's just going to be tremendous bloodshed out there in them streets if such a thing was to come to pass? I don't want to think that our, I don't think our people are that passive and that unprepared. And then again, you know, in 1862, you didn't have black people in the military in 1862. You didn't have black people that's part of the police forces. You have black people in every section of society today. Do you really, do you believe though? Like, for example, when we was in the military, if they called us out in the streets to do that, what you was talking about, you gonna follow those orders? I just don't think it's gonna go down like that. It's gonna be some tremendous bloodshed if they tried it, but we ain't going back to 1862. Just ain't gonna happen.
Scotty, this is me. I'm not arguing any of that. I'm not arguing that. All I'm saying is, though, the differences that you see is the fact of the matter is they weren't passive in 1862.
No, they weren't. You're correct.
There was a lot of rebellion, a lot of bloodshed. Those people weren't going down just passively.
That's true.
All I'm saying is there are so many other aspects. You're exactly right. But even if you look at, like, I lost my thing. They can hear me through yours.
Yeah, we hear you.
Even if you look at the police departments, et cetera, now, what you're starting to see is because of the culture of the training, et cetera, you see a lot of the black people that what do they do? Look, when you see a lot of these police officers beating down black people, et cetera, and you see all those black officers standing around. Why do you think that's happening? It's because their mindset, et cetera, has been conditioned into that culture. You're going to see a lot of that. You see that a lot of that in the military. Sure, you're going to have the people that are going to rebel and stuff. I'm not arguing any of that.
But
you're
going to
need all of that.
Hey,
all I'm saying, though, is you're still gonna you're gonna see society reverting back to the present state that it was, and our problem is as a people we are complacent. So what I'm saying is we have to be prepared, and we got to set up and store up our storehouses against this now while we have the opportunity to do so.
Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't. You should always be prepared. I mean, you know, that's just common sense. But again, though, these black cops, they don't see themselves as participating in no kind of race war or anything like that. But if it was to be a breakout race war, these people are not going to sit around and participating in rounding up their own mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, little cousins, and all of that. It's just not going to happen. And then, you know, Dave said something to me the other day when I was talking about there's about an estimated million cops in this country. Look, and he was saying, you know, like, I think he was saying they're not as strong as you think they are. And he's correct. He's correct. When I look at the Gaston County law enforcement here, you got the Sheriff's Department, which has quite a few black people working for them. We got the closest police department to me is Mount Holly. Man, they ain't even got 10 people on staff. And then one of my cousins is the lead detective that works there. The city manager is a dude I played basketball with. He's a little older than me, but he's a black dude I grew up with playing basketball and what have you. So I'm just saying that the dynamics are nothing like they were in 1862. It's just not. And I don't see that happening. My neighbors, even the ones that don't look like me, I don't think that they will participate in nothing like that. You know, I just don't see it happening. And if they did, it's enough of us around here to put them in check. Okay, and I live, but I hear what you're saying, though, Keith. I hear what you're saying. Keep your guns, buy your ammo, all the things you need to do to be prepared, because you never know what's going to happen. But in terms of complacency, they still practicing slavery. It's just as many people enslaved today as it was in 1862. You had estimated about 5 million people who were victims of slavery in 1862. Today, it's probably about 1 million. If we just counting black people, it's probably about 1 million. Okay? So it's less people in slavery today. But we're complacent that we're even allowing that many people. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in prison don't belong there, because we got some murderers, some rapists, and what have you, and they need to be taken out of the community. But the vast majority of the people are in there for nonviolent so-called drug crimes, and we just go along with it, trying to act like we so moral because we don't use this or we don't use that. And if they didn't want to get locked up, then they shouldn't have been smoking weed, or they shouldn't have been doing this. But was they doing anything to violate somebody else's right? The answer to that is no. What they do to their own body, that's them. They adults, they have that right to do that. Where they get in the wrong is where they intrude on other people's rights and what have you, and pulling children into that type of stuff. But we're complacent now, man. It's just not on the... I'm like, what are we going to wait for? We going to wait for them to start... Well, they already rounding up some of us. They're targeting certain communities, and we still tolerate it, and we complacent. So I don't know. But thanks. Thanks for allowing me to share with y'all.
Definitely. Hold on.
Okay, I agree with all that, but let me just give you food for thought. In the city of Dallas not too long ago, if you looked at the police department, and this was fairly recent, we were about 12% of the department. We were getting 60% of the discipline handed down.
Now, as well as in Los Angeles, it goes everywhere.
Okay, yeah. So what the deal was, as
58% in Los Angeles.
Okay, and what was so ridiculous about that was the blacks that they had were way more educated than their counterparts. So they were better qualified in those positions. The reason why is because they got bitten in the butt, because, of course, you only needed 45 credits to get on the department. Mm-hmm. But for all practical purposes, if you were black, you had to have your degree. So years down the road, they looked and they said, oh my God, all the blacks are super educated and we're not. So we were better qualified, et cetera, et cetera. So we were getting more than half the discipline on the entire department, when we're almost a tenth of the department. As absurd as that was, they came down and they did Justice Department came down and did an investigation on that. Federal Justice came down and did an investigation. And what they found out was this. They found out that you are exactly right. This is totally absurd that you have those type of numbers. But there was a caveat to that. The caveat was, the problem was, the black supervisors were chastising the black officers more than anybody else. So, Scotty, you're right in what you're saying. You're going to have the people that stand up, rebel, et cetera, et cetera. But these are just other things to think about.
And I think you got those points out. And I would just say this, is that for me, Tando Radio Show is about preparing. And so we're going to always bring the sides that is some of the threats that we're going to have. Now, my personal opinion about how we're going to respond to it, is it going to be passive? No, I don't think it's going to be a passive response to it, but it will be an inadequate response to it. Definitely, it will be inadequate compared to what is going to be presented to. And if you look at we were not prepared for Katrina. We were not prepared for the last economic crisis. We're not prepared because the system actually of subjugation puts us in a position for us to always be at a disadvantage, and we're hamstring and hamstrung. If you go to a lot of the preparedness, if you go to preparedness conventions and everything else, you will see very few black people, if at any. You will see no black organizations, if any at all. When it comes to acquiring firearms, yes, we acquire firearms. But see, here's what we don't do with firearms. Many of us don't. If you go to some of when they were having, and I know in California, California used to have gun shows, and it would have in 2000, from 2009, once Obama became president, that's when the overall gun sales exploded in this country. So much so that it was over four times the overall, all the just the legal guns that were sold, legal guns that were sold when Obama became president in his first administration, there were more legal guns sold, four times that of all of the military personnel in the world combined.
Same
that
thing
was
with
the
Trump.
Number combined.
Same thing with Trump, Dave. When Trump was elected, black gun buy-in went up astronomically as well. And then also when we say these white people, are we assuming that they gonna buy into a race war too? That it, you know, everybody just gonna, oh, I'm just gonna, hey, I'm white, so I'm gonna go out here and kill these black folks. I mean, you can't predict something.
I mean,
like
I can
that.
Definitely no, we can't predict, but history tells us that the reason why we're in this predicament. And, you know, in Nazi Germany, in the Weimar Republic, there was many, many people that were saying this is not going to happen. It's not going to move to where the fascist state or the cult organization of the Third Reich of Nazi is going to be able to take over power and then dictate nationalism to the point of extermination of people. And then expanding that also into expanding their overall border control of resources and everything else. There were many naysayers in that organization. And what happened was when the Nazis came upon, they came only upon because the people weren't prepared. And the people weren't prepared because they were economically disenfranchised. Germany went through its greatest depression, and its debt caused it to be in a position of disadvantage. So when they became in that position of disadvantage, it was easy for the emotional push to evil for it to march. They wanted to make Germany great again. So they were actually oppressed in so many different ways. That exact same thing is starting to play itself out here. The only reason why we do the show is just to point out some of the things that happened in history, some of the things that are in our position right now. Because we are not, even though we know, we are extremely passive in everything that we do because of our position that we have. See, I think that in society, where poverty screams, wealth whispers. Because we are in a position of economic disenfranchisement, we're always screaming. We don't have the overall momentum and capability to whisper.
Hey, Dave.
And whispering is very, very important.
Hey, you got, I think you had another caller. They dropped off the board if they want to call
brother,
back in.
Brother David.
But let me just say this. You know, this guy called in to turn your free and friends yesterday and telling people, you know, not to vote and all this, and that our people need to think about revolution. Well, what you're really saying is our people need to think about overthrowing the U.S. government. Now, you know, let's just be honest. That's what you're talking about. That's what you're calling into this national radio program to talk about, to say that we need to start a revolution. Well, you being passive just by talking about it and whatever. You're being passive because you're not going on the attack. Nobody's preparing to attack the U.S. government or attack anyone. So even if you're preparing for what may happen, that's still a passive position because you're not going on offense. So like I said yesterday on their program, if you look at places, countries where they've had revolutions, you know, let's use Cuba, for example. Typically, a very, very small minority of the people prepare, plan, and actually launch an offensive attack on the government, like the people of Cuba. 5% of the people of Cuba attacked the Batista regime and then put the government in place that they wanted in place. Okay, so it don't take everybody. That was my point. When people saying all of us or we need to do that, no. If that's what you say we need to do, then you do it. You lead by example. Let's stop talking. Let's stop calling in the radio show saying, you know, talking about revolution, revolution, revolution. Do it. Do it. Stop talking about it. Do it. And then you never know how many may join you. But get your dedicated few, your hardcore revolutionaries, and do something about it. And I know that you ain't planning nothing, because if you was, you wouldn't be calling in the radio shows. You wouldn't. Right. Be right. On social media, right. Talking about revolution and all this when you know you being monitored. You just running your mouth.
Right. Right. I would never. I think it's foolish to plan a revolution. And I think it's foolish to engage in that type of mentality, because what you're doing is that you're actually you're facilitating, and you're putting yourself in a position that you are going to fail and fail miserably. And you are not really trying to succeed. The only thing that you're trying to do is you're trying to vent. You never solve a problem from venting. A problem is always solved from a strategical dedication and persistence to achieve the objective. And it comes in multiple forms and methods. There is no one method to solving problems. You need many methods, but the objective should always be to whatever it is that you want to accomplish. Many ways to do it. Doing that type of that's very easy. And I'll just put it this way. You know, when you do that, you know that the system has the capability and the means to deal with you from a much stronger hand than what you have. This is why when protesting, why would you protest in front of riot gear? That is not going to succeed. That's where they want you. In today's world, in today's technology, doesn't matter how many your numbers are, you'll see it in the caravan. You're going to see where they're going to use acoustic weapons. They're going to bring acoustic weapons to the Mexican border. And acoustic weapons are in today's world, the frequencies that they can turn on, it doesn't matter what your size is. The spirit of the law will take over. So keep wanting to chime in. Then we want to move in. Then move on. Then Brother Davis was the one to jump in. Let me go ahead, Keith.
And with that being said, I need to apologize if I gave the impression that I was talking about revolution or any of those things. I am not. All I'm advocating is put yourself in position to be able to defend your home, your family, and be able to sustain this period that we're about to go through.
Well, Keith, I don't think that you need to apologize for that, because if someone took that's what you're saying, that's because that's what they wanted to hear. You see what I'm saying? So there isn't anything that you need to apologize for, because everything that you said was, and it has always been consistently in line with who you are. If someone took it that way, because that's what they wanted to hear, and we can't dictate what people want to hear, because that's what they want to do. That's who they are. That's you don't need to apologize at all. So real quick, Brother Davis, if you're there, will you chime up real quickly, if you can? Probably okay, but Brother Davis is there. Brother Davis, I just wanted to let you know, I got a email yesterday from a Sister Carter, and she just wanted to express how much she enjoyed Tando Radio Show and the contributions. But this is what she said. Brother Dave, I am grateful to you and the other hosts and guests from
from the other radio programs. I learned a lot about cryptocurrency and what real money is. You don't hear anyone teaching this in our community. I also heard some of the archive broadcasts with Brother and Sister Davis talking about eating healthy and using certain herbs. I would like to know if they could do more broadcasts on health. And I told her, I responded to her, and that was by Sister Brooks sent that. And so I responded to her, just letting her know that at the appropriate time, you and Sister Davis will be coming back to do Wise Wednesday, and we'll be focusing on the health and portion of it all, just that right now that you were dealing with just some of the adverse events from the hurricanes, and as soon as that you can, you'll come back on. So I just wanted to let you know that that was something that email that I received. So whenever you get a chance, there's Brother Davis. Brother Davis, were you able to hear what I said?
Yes, I did, brother. We are definitely planning that. Actually, we're working on the website, the Divine Oneness that I had spoke out before. It was hijacked. Yes. Well, we're going to bring that back probably around the first of the year. But in the meantime, we want to prepare people in reference to understand the importance of the balance that we're really shaking. We're so out of balance now that the very earth that we need to survive, we're destroying. So therefore, a lot of those natural minerals and supplements that come from the earth are no longer in it no more because of the transformation of modernization. So all of these things we want to talk about in the future in reference to what is to come, what we can do physically for ourselves, and how do we really enrich the growth process of being able to apply these things in our lives. And that's the main thing. And the reason being is because there is going to be a swarm of illness to hit America in the next 2 years. You're seeing it already with all of these here people who are committing these here heinous crimes. A lot of that comes from this cycle, the psychological imbalance of what not having the right minerals and supplements in the food supply.
Right, Brother Davis.
They know that. The system knows that. And the reason why the system knows that is because they've designed it that way. This is a part of a greater plan, and we have to prepare ourselves for that. These things we're definitely going to be bringing in the future, and we'll definitely be starting sometime next month. I'll get with my wife today because we've been fine-tuning several shows simultaneously because there's just so much going on. And there's so much going on, not only with the food, but with our natural water supplies, too. And we're being victimized by the fact that a lot of people say, oh, no, not the government wouldn't do that. Well, even if they're not the government, it's the corporation. So this leads me to today's show. United States, when you hear that, you have a connotation of the government. United States. But in reality, what is together is the institutions in the United States. And why? It's because they know in the institution, you have to convert to the standard of the institution. So you can't actually be a standout in an institution unless they allow it. And they know that. And they use it to their advantage. So when people across the universe hear the connotation of United States, oh, wow, they're all together. They all are one. No, they are not. What are together are the corporations and the institutions that run the United States. And we have to understand the importance of the role we play as individuals because we don't have to conform to the institutions, but we do have to identify ourselves truth in every circumstance. Because when you do that, then you prioritize what you need and not what the system needs. The greatest purveyor of evil in the world is the United States. Why do I say that? They institutionalize evil. And you pay for it on a regular basis out of your tax dollars. And some show in the future, I'll go into it in greater detail. But literally, that is actually financing our demise. Well, what we should be doing is living a prosperous, peaceful life. And prosperity doesn't always mean money, because health is wealth. And when you don't have it, that's when you understand the value of it. So all of these things will be coming in the future, and I do want people to understand that until you take a position that favors your own self-interest, you are the very victim they want to create. Because fear isn't a natural phenomenon. Peace is a natural phenomenon. The fear is induced in order to attain or get something that you would not ordinarily surrender. But look, I thank you for the opportunity to put that out there, Dave. And I'm definitely looking forward to my return. I'll definitely give you a date sometime in the next week. So in reference to how we're prepared and how we can put it out there so people will know exactly the date that we'll return. Thanks a lot,
brother. Brother Davis, take the time that's necessary. And, you know, because that's very, very important. There is an obligation that you have. And so to the family and to your overall, the goals that you all have set and the agenda that you all have. So take the time. Well said, as always, greatly appreciate you. So we'll definitely talk, and always good to hear the voice of a friend, and give my regards to Sister Davis as well. So listen, everyone, Brother Davis, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to start today's show because I think it's too important. We can't miss today's show. I want y'all to hear something. I actually put in, and Scotty, if you would just play minute 130 to the end, very important. I want you to hear something that celebrity figurehead Donald Trump said, and it's something that I want you to, that you hear something that was critical and key that he said. And
can you say it a minute?
Tando Radio. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
You said a minute what?
Oh, pick it up, Scotty, at a minute 30, and then from a minute 30 on.
Okay, we'll go into it right after the break.
Yeah, okay, cool. Thank you, Scotty. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Amendment. You don't need a constitutional amendment for birthright citizenship. I believe that you can have a simple vote in Congress, or it's even possible, in my opinion, this is after meeting with some very talented legal scholars, that you can do it through an executive order. Now, I'd rather do it through Congress because that's permanent, but we can certainly do it through, I really believe we can do it through executive order. One other thing, if President Obama can get DACA approved, if you look at DACA, where he actually said, well, this isn't legal, or this I can't do, but I'll do it anyway, and then he gets a judge to approve it, and it'll ultimately be decided by the Supreme Court, I hope quickly, but certainly if he can do DACA, we can do this by executive order. With that being said, I think Congress will ultimately act, but I may very well do it by executive order. Just so you understand, a person comes in, was never in our country before, has a baby, and now all of a sudden the baby's a United States citizen. And through chain migration and other things, many other people come in through the baby. It's ridiculous. All you have to do is take a look at what Harry Reid said in 1993. And guess what? Before he went insane, he got it right. No, I'm not going to blame anybody. I think we're doing well with the House. We're going to have to see. It's a lot of people. I've campaigned for a lot of candidates that were down a little bit. Now they're up. But we're going to see. I think we're going to do well in the House. I think we're doing really extraordinarily well in the Senate.
Have you received a subpoena at all from Robert Mueller?
No. Say it again, what? Not betrayed me, no. I just hope that it all works out. We have a lot of facts. We have a lot of things that we've been looking at.
They haven't betrayed me. I mean, maybe they betrayed themselves. We'll have to see how it all turns out. No, not fear-mongering at all. Immigration is a very important subject. The Democrats have let immigration in our country get out of control with their horrible not allowing us to have any votes to get passage. We need Democrat votes to change the immigration laws. They haven't given us any votes, and I actually think that they will. As far as the caravan, which is very dangerous, you see what's been happening. As far as the caravan is concerned, our military is out. We have about 5,008. We'll go up to anywhere between 10 and 15,000 military personnel on top of Border Patrol, ICE, and everybody else at the border. Nobody's coming in. We're not allowing people to come in. If you look at what happened in Mexico 2 days ago with the roughness of these people in the second caravan that's been forming, and also, frankly, in the first caravan, and now they have one forming in El Salvador, and we are thinking very seriously, immediately, stopping aid to those countries because, frankly, they're doing nothing for the American people. Immigration is a very, very big and very dangerous, a really dangerous topic. And we're not going to allow people to come into our country that don't have the well-being of our country in mind. Oh, they'll be here fast. They're trying to get up any way they can. They're trying to get up by train. They're trying to get up by truck and by buses. We're going to be prepared. They're not coming into our country. And one other thing important, we're not doing any releases anymore. We're not going to release and let them never come back to trial. We'll build 10 cities. We'll build whatever we have to build in terms of housing. But we're not doing releases. What's been happening over years is they would come in, release them, and they'd never show up for their trial. And we now have 25 or 30 million people in this country illegally because of what's been happening over many years. So we're not going to allow it. It's dangerous, and it's very unfair to our citizens. With that being said, I want people to come into our country, but they have to come in legally, and they have to come through merit, a merit system, because we have many companies, as you know, car companies, Foxconn that does the Apple computers and iPhones. We have many, many companies coming into our country. We need people. We want them to come in, but we want them to come in through merit, and we want them to come in legally.
Do you think somebody's trying to get
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't. I don't know who, but I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people say yes.
Have you heard from Kanye West?
We get along great. He's a good guy. Say it. No, I don't think so. Whatever it is, here's the thing. I don't view suburban districts or any other districts. I view the country. Our country has to be safe. And by the way, women. We're doing very well with the women vote because they want security. They want safety. They don't want these people pouring into our country totally unchecked. And when you look at what happened to the Mexican police and you look at what happened 2 days ago to the Mexican military, it's a dangerous group of people. They're not coming into our country. Thank you. We'll see you in Florida.
All right, so that was celebrity figurehead Donald Trump yesterday, and he said a lot there, and it's something that was very catchy, and basically I've been talking about this for a little bit, and what he basically gave away was what is really going to, what the real plan is here, and I want to just give my thoughts on that, pointed out what I heard there, and it was even more damaging than what he said that when he said that we're going to send 10 to 15,000 troops, Border Patrol, and then if you heard what he said, and everybody else is at the border. Who is everybody else? The militia groups and everything else, okay? But then he said that these countries are not doing the American people any good. What is he talking about? Once again, he's taking America, the U.S. as being America. Well, Central America is America. Not even that. Most important thing that he said there in giving away, and Scotty was funny what he put in here about his own. He's absolutely right, Scotty. This dude is really, they picked this person, this individual as the overall. They selected him for this very reason, because this is about the overall untied states of America, that in the purge of the U.S. is going to happen. But he gave away something very, very important and very critical in this whole thing. When he said Foxconn, you heard what he said, that we want people to come in because we got companies like Foxconn that's coming here. That was the key. That was the key to everything. And we've been, and I've been talking about Foxconn, saying that pretty soon everybody here in the United States will have jobs, but they won't get nothing in pay for it, and they won't get paid anything. If you know anything about Foxconn, and I want to play something about Foxconn just to set the table so you know, Foxconn is coming here. Foxconn is only coming to the U.S. because it'll be profitable for them to come to the U.S. And when Foxconn comes to the U.S., is because the U.S. has gone through such an economic crisis that has nullified any vestige of stability. And they're going to come in and make a profit. See, Foxconn right now, they're in other nations making a, they're there only because they're making a profit. What I want to do, and it's very, very important, I don't like to do this, but it's critical that we listen to differently so you can hear it from other than just me on who situations and who people are. Scotty, if you would just play this real quickly, it's like 3 minutes long about Foxconn, and you're going to hear how much Foxconn is paying and who Foxconn is. And we're going to put this all together. This is how we're going to be stepping over dollars that'll be all over the streets and not picking them up.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, 10% of children with cancer.
On ABC News exclusive, for the first time ever, a journalist was allowed inside the secret factory in China where Apple iPhones and iPads are made. In recent weeks, a number of reports have raised serious questions about the workers there, the long hours, the pressures, the low pay, the life. ABC's Bill Weir made his way into the giant factory and tonight tells us what he saw.
Her name is Xiao Ying. She's a 27-year-old mother of two, and she makes a living slicing apples, trimming aluminum burrs from those iconic iPad logos. She has helped make hundreds of thousands of these coveted gadgets, but since it would take 3 months' salary to buy an iPad of her own, this is the first time she's ever seen the final product, and her eyes light up.
That's my daughter, yeah. She likes climbing trees.
Your daughter is cute, naughty, she says, which is poignant since her kids live 2 hours away and she can afford to see them just once a month. But this is typical for most of the 235,000 who work in this one Foxconn complex. Many leave distant villages where families live in rooms like this.
How do you stay warm?
To share a dorm room like this with seven strangers. Foxconn attracts a lot of business by having workers close to the assembly line. They spend 12 hours a day in the factory with 2 one-hour meal breaks to march single file to a massive canteen for meat and rice. And if they eat fast enough, they'll grab a nap back at their spot on the line. And if Foxconn ever needs more workers, there are always crowds of applicants like this, all hoping to earn a wage Americans haven't seen since the 1950s. While the average worker building electronics in the U.S. today makes over $23 an hour and works 41 hours a week, most of the people at Foxconn earn just over $2 an hour and strive for a 60-hour work week. In a world ever hungry for gadgets, these people are all too easy to exploit. And ever since 18 Foxconn workers jumped from these buildings, Apple has been accused of doing just that. The suicide nets are still in place, just in case. So after years of monitoring suppliers themselves, Apple joined the Fair Labor Association last month and asked them to examine working conditions at Foxconn and publish the findings. And they invited us along. For the record, our parent company Disney has strong ties with Apple. The CEO sits on the Apple board, and the Steve Jobs Trust is the majority individual shareholder of Disney stock. But we promised to report whatever we found.
If you could improve one thing about your job, what would it be?
We're all here to work, so naturally we want better pay and benefits, she says.
What do you want the people who end up buying this to know about you?
I want them to know me, she says. I want them to know we put a lot of effort into this product, and when they use it, please use it with care.
She was very sweet. The results of that FLA audit should be out in a couple weeks, and of course, we'll have every detail.
So what do you think now when you look at your iPad?
You know what I hear? I hear that automated voice, the computer voice on the line that says, okay, 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 hundreds of thousands of times. I think about her and not ever having seen one of these things, and I realize that this thing honestly changed my life. I'm a big fan of this product, but it's changing their lives in a way, too.
But Apple did increase salaries recently, right? Is there going to be pressure to do even more?
I think so. They just gave a raise on February 1st, but this is a conversation every producer, every manufacturer of every product at Walmart should be thinking about right now. Their lives, their trip up the value chain is rising.
That's right. It is always moving see how hard.
Okay, now, what's up, strategic melanin? Okay, now, I wanted that to be played because it's been a while that I've been talking about what's probably going to be happening here. Foxconn can only come to the United States if it's profitable for them to do it. Meaning that if they're only paying how much to their employees in China? $2 and what? 16 cents, was it? Equivalent to $2.16. That means that in order for Foxconn to be able to maintain its overall continuous profitable growth, that when they come to the United States, that they have to pay even less than that. Or the U.S. currency will be even less than that. Foxconn is not going to come to the U.S. under the current situations and pay what is. They're not going to do that. They're absolutely not going to do that. Because really what happens in the United States, like Brother Davis was saying, is the corporations. The corporations, this is a kleptocracy. It's not a democracy. The corporations, this is fascism. They really do make the decision makers. Look at the banking world. The Federal Reserve is a private organization. It's not the U.S. government. So Foxconn is going to come to the U.S. because the U.S. will go through an economic crisis, and every person that endures all of this, they will be needing jobs, and the jobs that they will be getting will be in the factories that Foxconn has, similar factories that Foxconn has built throughout the world, where people work there 12, 14, 18, 20 hours a day. Did you hear what this lady does? Her children live 2 hours away. She gets to see them once a month. And the overall living, if you look at that, that is a concentration internment camp. That is slave labor. That's our prison industrial complex. That's the private prison format that is being used there. And that's going to be used here. If you don't think that that's going to happen, that's cool. You go ahead and think that. But when it hits you, most people won't realize things until it actually hits them. But the plan, and Trump said it himself, the plan has always been, we did a show on this before, that Foxconn is coming, and what does that mean? That means that your dollar, what you're paid, is not going to have any purchasing power. It's not going to be worth a darn. And they're going to have these overall labor camps that people will be, they can call it whatever they want. They can call it a factory. That's not a factory. That's really what that is that's going to be revolutionized sharecropping. You're going to live at the overall facility. They're going to have it where the people live at the overall facility, get paid nothing at all, and everything that, who you think that they get paid $2 and whatever cents an hour. What's going to happen when they pay for those meals? Who do you think is providing those meals for them? The overall Foxconn is, and they're going to have to pay Foxconn to be able to eat. So what does that do? They're getting free labor all the way around, even more so. And the system is always going to steal energy and work people to death. Because when you have a nation of workers, you won't have a nation of thinkers. That's what Rothschild said. I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. Because they're going to put so much economic, this is how the disenfranchisement happened.
it subtly creeps up on you in the circumstances. Currency takes you in the overall, the movement of the force of the overall current. And the momentum that's being built is pushing everyone into this. And what's going to happen is that just like you step over a penny now, we're going to be stepping over dollars, because they are going to have the overall purchasing power of a penny or even less. We will look at a dollar bill on the ground when Foxconn and when this economic system completes what its overall intentions is. The so-called U.S. economy will be a third world economy, and then they'll be ripe for sweat labor camps, sweat factory labor camps. Because the rest of the world is going to require that the U.S. pay reparations for what it caused and what it stole. And that overall bill is going to fall on the shoulders of the so-called citizens of the United States. That's their intention. This is the movement that they're going to. History has shown it, and their intentions are displaying it.
Hey, David.
And the key is that, yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Well, what you just described was what was described to me when I was working in management in a textile company. I was in charge of working with this guy in Hong Kong, testing fabric or whatnot. But this other lady, she had worked for Nike before. And they, in the sourcing department, what you're doing is going around the world trying to find factories to produce whatever it is that you wanted. In our case, it was clothing and what have you. So anyway, what you just described about being forced to live on the factory grounds, all of that, she told me that's what it was like in Vietnam in them night factories and stuff. And this is all over the world, not just in Vietnam. This is all over the world that this is happening. And from a biblical perspective, and what you said is key, we, and Scotty ain't in it, but I'm just saying we, or I should say Americans or U.S. citizens, man, they have been the beneficiaries of all of this cheap or slave labor all over the world. So it, from a biblical perspective or even a spiritual perspective, if you believe in reaping and sowing, then the U.S. citizen deserves it, because you've been doing it to all over the world and ain't gave a damn about them people. So you got it coming.
Right. And that's how this system perpetuates the evil, because they know that hate has an expiration date. You have to transfer the hate in order for the train of subjugation to continue to move, because the hate is the fuel that propels the locomotive. And what's going to happen is that the world is going to purge. There's a global purge of the U.S. And it's not the corporation of the United States that is going to be purged. It's actually the citizenry here, because people will say that they deserve it. It's about time. Not knowing that they're setting themselves up generationally down the line for that overall reciprocal mentality and energy to find their way to their families. This is transferable. Hate is transferable. And with the overall set, you heard Trump said Foxconn, they make the iPhones. What more do you, how do Foxconn do that? What's their methodology? What's their operational procedures? What's their MO? What's their guidelines? What's their policies? Their policies is to subjugate by enslavement. This is why they can't wait to get in the United States, because the United States is going to have one of the most beneficial workforce that they can exploit. And how is it going to happen? The economy will collapse. Not the economy is going to collapse. The common person, the citizen's economy is going to collapse. Those with resources, the economy is not going to affect. The economy can never, ever, ever take from those that have resources. It can only take from those that are being enslaved by itself. And that's what's going to collapse. And when that collapse comes, it's going to come in by various methods. It's going to come by war. It's going to come by geopolitical events. It's going to come by disenfranchisement. It's going to come by exclusion. Oh, and believe me, there will be great disdain for U.S. citizens, and there will be great disdain there will be a hierarchy of disdain for U.S. citizens. There will be a hierarchy. And that hierarchy, and I'm not even going to say what that hierarchy is, because it's still a cloak of what the real intentions is division.
Hey,
this
Dave,
is why I
hey,
always
Dave.
Say we got to be careful that we don't become what we had to endure.
And you are so right. You are so right. And so, again, think about this now. If everything go down like that, you know, we don't have a crystal ball. You know, we can't say
right,
this is
going
to happen for sure or whatnot. We can just try to read the tea leaves, as they say, and predict, you know, what could happen. So,
right.
When all, let's just take this migrant refugees that's fleeing their own countries because of what U.S. multinational corporations and the U.S. government did in their countries and destabilized it, and so they're fleeing the violence and the chaos, and everything that we're talking about could happen here, and they're trying to get to safety, aka the USA, and then we're sitting up saying they're invading our country, we don't want them here, send them back, them people don't look like me. So when it goes down like that and you need to escape this place, then How them people gonna treat you? Just remember what you said about these refugees and other people fleeing violence in their homeland when you trying to get out. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, from a historical point of view, which you brought up earlier, some African victims of slavery were able to get out and were given sanctuary in Canada and given sanctuary in Mexico as well.
Mexico.
And that's why
it
pains me when I hear people who look like me with this history going along with these global terrorists, some of y'all call them white people or whatever, and going along and playing the nationalistic game. Oh, they don't look like me. Why should I care about them? You know, I'm an American. They come to take our job. And just remember that if you have to escape this place one day, just remember how you were talking about those other people. And my last point is, this is why, Dave, I said the other day, and this kind of touching upon your hierarchy thing that you said, this is why I'm glad RT, this is why I'm glad Press TV, all the other papers that keep the Chinese keep pointing out how black people are oppressed here in this country, because we not going to be looked upon as the same as those other people, in my opinion. Some of them might take note of, hey, these people have been oppressed for hundreds of years. And what? That's why I'm glad RT keeps showing how we are systematically being oppressed in this country.
Yeah, hold on, Scotty. Let me get Brother Davis. Brother Davis wanted to chime in. Keith, did you want to chime in too as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go to Brother Davis because he called in. You're right here, Keith. So we're going to go to Brother Davis. Brother Davis, what say you?
Yo, man, Brother Scott is just so much thunder. He's right on point. And we got to realize this, that we can do something. Anarchy isn't always mass confusion. Anarchy may be separation of tribes in order to open up some form of trade. And that only happens when you eliminate that is controlling all. And the sad part about it is that because greed and evil play a prominent role in the capitalistic system, many will submit themselves to that. But make no mistake, these people got a plan called the King Alfred's Plan. If it don't go the way they want,
right,
don't think they will appreciate it. I just wanted to add that, brother. Thank you.
Well said, as always, Brother Davis. And it's very, very significant what we're going to be dealing with. And I can't emphasize this enough. Keith, I'm going to go to you in a second. I can't emphasize this enough. We're going to come up on a commercial break. You want to come after the commercial break? Okay, I'm going to go. I can't emphasize this enough. This system of subjugation has been in existence and has been able to grow into a very formidable operational mechanized unit. And it's gained much momentum, has learned much, it had many failures, but it has had a lot of successes that it capitalizes on. The most important thing that it capitalizes on, and it realizes that the thing that allows it to stay in existence, is when they get willing participants. It's the only way. Very important, we can never become what we had to endure. This system works because of participation. And it has to put the overall environment in place for that participation at the lowest amount of energy that it has to expend to uphold it. It has to be sustained, not self-sustained. It has to steal energy from others. Others have to be willing participants and surrender that energy to the system. Listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, get in on the conversation. Give us a call. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Give me 2 minutes there, Scotty. When we come back, we'll take a look at this. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Keith, start over, Keith, and we need you to speak a little louder. I'm sorry, I had myself muted, okay, so y'all couldn't hear the you know, the music that was playing and whatnot. I forgot to unmute myself on the board, but go ahead, Keith, start over.
Okay, just in line is some of the things that you guys were saying. I came across a stat the other day, and what they were talking about, they talked about Mexico. And what Mexico was saying, they were saying that 85% of the United States citizens that are residing in Mexico right now are undocumented. So, you know, you never hear that side of the story. You know, all of it is so much of a lie. They've actually had more Hispanic people or Mexicans leaving the country as they got coming in. That's been the case for several years now. But on top of that, they turned around and said that 85% of most of the Americans living in Mexico are undocumented, whatever you want to call them, immigrants in the continent or in the state of Mexico. So,
in the country of Mexico. Wow. Yeah, it's all. And let me tell you, it's very important that we hear different sides of things. You know, Keith, is so important. Because when we don't, then we always think that that one person, please never ever think that anything that I say is absolutely right. What has to happen is that the provoking of thought comes from different experiences, different opinions. And that's what we want to do here, is provoke the thought. And but I'm going to tell you what my main goal is. I'm not going to tell you how to prepare. I'm going to just give you the some of the reasons why you should prepare. And if you do that, it's always a choice. It, for me and my family, we shall prepare. It's not a matter of should. It's a matter of we shall. And that's how, and this is how we live, and it's important for us for a lot of different reasons. And we all share that in, within my overall family unit, everyone has a say in how that's done. And so that should be, you know, and that works well for us. Oh, we got another caller in queue. Let me go to my man, Roz. Roz, what's going on? What say you?
Hey, peace and love to you, Brother Dave. I'm outside right now because I'm on my lunch break. But I just thought this conversation was extremely important. Peace to Pastor Keith and to Scotty as well and other callers and listeners. I think Scotty brought up a most incredibly important point in regards to how we treat these incoming refugees versus how we're going to be treated when we wish to leave this country, some of us, if, when things get really, really hectic out here. And one thing I've always said, and I said this to my son 1,000 times, always study the history of the relations between black people and people in other countries, because exactly what Scotty said is true. I always knew that Mexico allowed asylum to our ancestors that were able to get there, most notably the Seminoles ended up in Mexico, and they basically did not have any sort of extradition treaty with the United States. A few days ago, I posted an article, and as a result, they didn't send the slaves back. That's what I wanted to finish that first. But I posted an article talking about...
Via John Brown.
Yes. And the article discussed that there was another underground railroad that led south to Mexico versus the one that led north to Canada, and I never knew that. I knew that they helped us, but I didn't know there was actually another system in place similar to the underground railroad.
You know what, Roz?
Familiar with. Go ahead.
You know, real quick, actually in Mexico, you can actually see that those individuals are still being represented there. You can actually see them there. It's a strong representation. It's communities of those individuals. But go ahead, Roz.
Yeah, and what I wanted to say is there's no place on the planet that you're going to escape the system of white supremacy. They dominate everybody. And, you know, so the idea that to wholesale ridicule Mexico because there are some racist Mexicans, and of course there's going to be European Mexicans, is incorrect, because there's going to be groups of our own people, African Mexicans, who are also oppressed, who would be willing to look out for us. But if we create this system of us against them following the colonizers' narrative, then we're going to be really messed up when things hit the fan. And the whole idea of China and Russia basically putting out propaganda informing the world and letting us know here that, hey, we know that you all are being oppressed wholesale, is basically to create a fifth column insurgency amongst the people here. So the idea is that if we can foster the correct relationships with the people in other countries that can help us, that are willing to help us, that knows the history and knows that not everybody is in line psychologically with the ideologies of this particular corporation and how it functions to oppress us and others, then there's ways for us to mitigate that. But, and also Scotty posted a brilliant article I posted yesterday on your thread dealing with the soldiers questioning what they were asked to do on the border. And having thinking soldiers, these are the things that can facilitate positive relations with people in other countries if we have sensible people who know their history. No, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to ignore the fact that the system of white supremacy is global, but we will deal with the fact that there's people that live in other countries that are suffering from the same system that are in line with what we're in line with, and we need to make those inroads so that when something does hit the fan, they might know ways across the border that are not blocked by the military, because it's going to be blocked. America's going to be what Venezuela is right now, where everybody's rushing to Colombia and they have to fortify their borders. That's what's going to happen here. but we're not going to be able to go north, and we're not going to be able to go south if we don't foster those relationships. And just the foresight and the self-honesty to say that, yes, Mexico in some ways practices racism. There's a history of that there, but there's also a history of our ancestors being helped and assisted, and we have to understand and take that into account in order to further facilitate, like you say, being prepared. So with that, I'll just say, you know, I'll mute my line and say thank you for a brilliant show, and peace and love to you all.
Much respect, my brother Roz, as well as always well said and pointed information, and just the reason why we have these discussions, because just think of the impact that all of you have made and people that are listening to this show. Just think about the impact that you've had with them. They may have not told you directly. Some of them may have told you directly. When you take a moral high ground to think that's, and you have a benevolent agenda, that always has a frequency that's much higher than anything else. And that's critical, especially for the low frequencies that are going to be magnified, particularly here. And with the onset of events that are likely to happen as they start to unfold, when the onset of these events unfold, then people that had no clue that things were going to be happening, those individuals may be individuals that are sincere in their overall intentions with a good relationship with you. And they're not going to look a certain way. They're going to resonate a certain way. There are going to be individuals that will come in as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Their overall appearance may look good, but their intentions are not good at all. The main problem that I see that we have is that categorically throughout the world, we look at the systematic problems having to be solved on the political format. There is no political solution to moral debasement. There is no political solution to it, because the political realm, which the government uses and lives by and survives off of, is based off of the overall flow and currency of emotion, in controlling that flow and currency of emotion. They can move you into nationalistic theology or the religious practice of nationalism that will move you into a sociopathic path, or your psychopathic dysfunction being put into a position of authority. And trust me, history has proven, and we don't even need to go over the accounts to lay them out, you know, in chronological order, all of the reasons why it doesn't work. But what does need to change is our relationships. Our relationships have to change, because the system is actually going to continue in its overall direction to control the emotions from the events that they set forth. They set the weather pattern. They set the path of the storms. They set the path of the overall clouds how the sun will have no clouds or have clouds. They set the overall weather pattern. But the most important thing is how we respond to the wind. What is it that we, where is our agenda? And one of the things about generally the people in the world, one of the things that definitely prevails in our community is that we have to commit to an agenda without compromise. Different to the one that we have already committed to without compromise. If we want to change the outcome that we continuously see, if we want to continuously see this, if the overall community wants to wait its turn for the devil to give it the deal of choice, just wait. The devil will come, and the offer will be made. But if that's not who we are and what we want to do, then we're going to have a different consciousness that is displayed in our actions, and we have to go in a different direction. We have to place our energy, remove it from one place, and place it in another direction. One of the things that I admire about this system is that it was committed to its objective. They executed their free will. As malevolent as it was, it's a testament to steadfastness. It's a testament to discipline. The system has derived so many things, so many smoke and mirrors, so many deceptions that you can't really see what their truth is. It's not apparent, because your truth should always be guarded. It should always be stored, and it should always be treasured, and it should always be protected. As events continue to unfold, there's going to be great opportunity for us to do something different. Execute a different consciousness that will bring about a solution to the problem that we are facing on the micro and macro level. Is it going to be difficult? That's why it's worth it. Is it going to be comfortable? Absolutely not. Is it going to be challenging, where there will be the overall feelings and the urge and the unctions to give up? We deal with that daily. But there needs to be a mental, spiritual, and constitutional fortitude to never surrendering. And even never surrendering when their insurmountable odds are before you. The strength of the people, there was, oh, I guess someone wanted to chime in. Brother Davis, was that you? Did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, brother, because you're right on course. But there's an African proverb that says, if you must fight a lion, you can only die once. And if you're going to go against that lion, you might as well give it your all, because guess what? You can only die once. In America, they want you to believe that you can find relief in drugs, in money, in authority. There's no relief outside of yourself. And this is the main position you have to take. If you're going to fight the lion, he can only kill you once. But then, if it's more than one, you could kill the lion. I just wanted to add that.
And you know, Brother Davis, with that, if you never realize that you need to fight the lion and you surrender to the lion, you're always going to be in the same predicament that forced you into confrontation. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. And it's, I like to put it, it's okay to die when you fight for life, because prosperity will surely come. And that's not always the great transformation thing. That can also mean to where you die to pride. You die to selfishness. You die to emotion. But more importantly, you die to anger. You die to anger. I've learned that it's been more beneficial for me never to be motivated by anger. Never to be eager. My ambition, never to be strived by hate. Because what ends up happening, or revenge, because then what ends up happening is that I end up aligning myself in principle and objective with that same thing that I hated. And is this a position of weakness and everything else? Well, some may say it is, and that's cool. Meekness is probably the most difficult character trait that you can employ. We do what we do when we have to do it, because we have to do it, because we exhaust everything else. Keith wanted to chime in. Here you go, Keith.
And in line with what you're saying, I have to add, just like you were saying that their system, you said that you're in awe where you respect their system because the things that they put
their
in place,
their dedication
to the line. Exactly. You know, if we go back 150 years again to the slaves at that time, you know, their thought process was very similar to that. And you can hear it in their old gospel songs.
Yes.
And the Bible even says, you know, it says, don't fear the man that can take you, only take your life. And what we have to understand is, just like you prepare for the things that you're talking about, we also have to know that there are things that extend outside of ourselves. And what I mean by that is, we talked about it last week, that just like you prepare here on earth, you have to prepare for that, because this is not our home. But there's more important things than just ourselves, and we have to look at things just like the same perspective that this organization is. We have to do that same way. For instance, I am me. I have my wants. I have my desires. I have all those things, but not for a second would I hesitate to give up my life for a better life for my children. You know, those are much more important than I go. And that's the same type of mentality. So we have to understand, and that's what I got out of his comments when he said, you can only die once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, there are some things more important than whether we live or die.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do this collectively, you will prevail, whichever way things go. Whether you live or die, you will prevail.
Right. You've already made it. Yeah, Chief.
It's so true. It's the resistance means that you've already won. Because Vladimir Putin said something very important. Vladimir Putin said, there's nothing that the U.S. can offer us. And that's my overall. There's nothing that this system of subjugation can offer me to compromise. And that overall steadfastness is growing more and more and more and more. And it is not always displayed in the way that they taught me to respond. One of the things that this system of subjugation has always taught me to respond is to learn how to shoot, to kill, and go on the hunt. My overall learning how to shoot was out of the necessity to protect, to defend.
Stop
defend.
Exactly.
as a last resort, not as the first choice. It's a difference between the protector, and there's a difference between the betrayer. Big difference, huge difference. So listen, everyone, I just want to say much love, much respect to you all. Is never goodbye. Want to thank you all for calling in, Brother Davis, Scotty, for chiming in, Roz for chiming in, and for you all being there. Hey, remember, it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.